This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The New Year's Eve car bombing of an upscale Baghdad restaurant, which killed 8 people, was a sign that opponents of the U.S.-led occupation forces may be shifting to civilian targets, U.S. and Iraqi officials said Thursday. The so-called hard targets in Baghdad, like coalition complexes and Iraqi police stations, are increasingly well-guarded, pushing insurgents towards soft targets like the Nabil restaurant, said a U.S. military officer with the 1st Armored Division. He said security was being increased around hospitals and government buildings and called on schools to put up checkpoints and keep cars off their campuses. As they prepare to increase their role in Iraq, including more combat duty, soldiers with the Army National Guard and Army Reserve are already experiencing a bigger share of U.S. military deaths there. Of the 39 deaths in December in Iraq for which the Pentagon has released the victims' names, 10 were citizen soldiers, according to an Associated Press review of the Pentagon reports. That is up from 14% in November, the deadliest month of the war, with 81 American deaths. There actually were 40 reported deaths in December, but one soldier's name and affiliation have not been released. Overall, since the start of hostilities last March, 14% of all U.S. military deaths have been members of the Army Guard or Reserve. The Army says it's had 68 reservists killed so far, compared with 9 reservists among the Marines, 2 in the Navy, and 1 in the Air Force. After separating from the pack as the only Democratic presidential candidate to give Howard Dean a late-year run for the money, Wesley Clark is mapping his final sprint to become the Democrats' alternative to Dean. Clark, a retired general, said in a statement issued Thursday that he is the candidate best able to stand up to George W. Bush and win the debate about who will best be able to make our country more secure over the next 4 years. Bush had a 67% to 21% lead over Dean on who people trust more to handle national security, according to a mid-December ABC Washington Post poll. More news after this.
Sting for VH1's Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
From the Polish undertaker caught smuggling cigarettes in a hearse to a pair of one-legged Brazilian prisoners skipping jail, the weird and wacky reigned supreme around the world in 2003. Oddball tales abounded, with Canadian prisoners being offered fruit-flavored condoms, Cambodians being urged to eat more dogs, and China axing hemorrhoid TV ads during mealtimes. And who can forget the French hunter who was shot by his dog? This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An old English nursery rhyme goes, they hang the man and flog the woman that steal the goose from off the common, but let the greater villain loose that steals the common from the goose. It's receiving remarkably little media attention, but the corporate villains are loose, stealing the commons from you and me. And now they're trying to plunder the most essential public resource we have, our water. There's an ignoble global water grab underway. In our country and throughout the world, a handful of conglomerates are moving rapidly to turn this necessity of life into just another commodity for traders and speculators, a private plaything for personal profiteering. And if you're xenophobic, get ready to have your brain explode. The big three water grabbers are foreigners. Mon Dieu, Bubba, two are French conglomerates and the other is German. And they've already grabbed the water systems of Houston, Indianapolis, Lexington, Jersey City, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and dozens of other cities. While the promise of water privatization has been golden, the delivery has been leaden. In city after city that has succumbed to the corporate promises, locals have seen their monthly bills skyrocket, services sink, water quality stink, and democratic control evaporate. As a result, water wars have broken out all across America as folks are organizing, petitioning, and holding referendums to stop the corporate heist of their water supply. And Atlanta, Jacksonville, and other places that had previously privatized have gotten so fed up with the result that they've dumped the corporate hustlers and taken back public control of their water. But beware, for the corporations are trying to get Congress to force your city to consider privatizing your water supply or be denied federal funding for water improvements. This is Jim Hightower saying, don't let them steal this most precious part of our commons. To fight the water profiteers, call Public Citizen, 202-546-4996.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
So much in the news. It is just absolutely remarkable. From the Heritage Foundation pulling down millions of bucks from the Chinese communists to Rehnquist scolding Congress to... It's going to be an interesting day. And it's 2 o'clock this afternoon, or at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, in the second hour of our program. We're going to have Bernie Sanders on for our Friday afternoon brunch with Bernie. And so a political update. We look back over the year. You know, it's interesting here. By the way, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And we are broadcasting live coast to coast on the network's beam off the ABC StarGuide 3 satellite to public radio, or not public radio, to radio stations, land-based radio stations across the country. Streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite stream 145 and beaming around the world, radiopower.org, 10,000 listeners a day in over 100 countries, ieamericaradio.com, and live365.com. President George W. Bush, according to David Rennie in Washington, this article, Hawks Tell Bush How to Win War on Terror, it was sent a public manifesto yesterday by Washington's Hawks, demanding regime change in Syria and Iran and a Cuba-style military blockade of North Korea. This because Richard Perle and David Frum, former Bush speechwriter, and Perle, of course, is the Pentagon advisor who somehow manages to make enormous amounts of money off his connections and is sometimes referred to as the intellectual guru of the neocons, have written this new book. And the book is... you know, suggesting just this absolute extreme belligerence. And I find this really fascinating. When you go back, first of all, you go back and you listen to George Bush's earlier speeches, and he was saying, we must only invade Iraq as a last resort. I mean, that has been the official policy of the United States government for 227 years, that we don't attack countries that are not either actively attacking us or that there's an absolute consensus within the government and among our people are about to attack us. And or attacking so many of our allies that we have to go back after them. For example, with Germany, although I believe Germany declared war on us before we declared war on them. But in any case, this war in Iraq, which has nothing to do with the so-called war on terror or the war in Afghanistan, and this is a whole separate thing. And it's important to remember it's interesting. You go back and you look at the, first of all, you look at Pearl and Wolfowitz's agenda. And it has to do with two interesting things. One, nailing down North Korea, which I think would be tremendously to the benefit of China. China would very much like to have this kind of loony guy with the nuclear weapons under control, but they don't want to be the bad guys because they're communist and he's communist and they're supposed to be on the same side and they've got all these reciprocal relationships in place. So if we can do something to oust Kim Jong-il, it would probably make the dictators in China quite happy. And it turns out that the dictators in China are, like, you know, hugely, majorly connected to the right wing in America, to the extreme right wing. WorldNet Daily, the right wing website, back in June of 2001, laid out a story that pointed out, you know, the historic ties here. The Conservative Heritage Foundation, once a strong anti-communist voice, has raised, quote, several million dollars, end quote, in Hong Kong, with most of the money coming from pro-Beijing tycoons, according to a report in the South China Morning Post. See, it's all, for the cons, it's all about cheap labor. I mean, you can always boil everything down to that. It's about cheap labor. If cheap labor furthers the interests of the corporate monopolists. And so you have, you know, the Heritage Foundation. Heritage says it's closing the office, which had been run by a personal aide to the foundation's president, Edwin Fuellner. Fuellner opened the office in 1996, the same year he brought aboard Elaine Chao. Does that name sound familiar? She is the labor secretary under the Bush administration. She's our secretary of labor. Elaine Chao is the woman who makes decisions, who is supposed to be an advocate for labor in the United States. Who is supposed to, I mean, the labor secretary is supposed to, you know, like the education secretary is an advocate for education and the defense secretary is an advocate for defense. The labor secretary is supposed to be an advocate for labor. Well, Elaine Chao was an Asian scholar for the Heritage Foundation. And according to this article, she has close family ties to Chinese President Jiang Zemin through her father. WorldNet Daily, in its January 24th story, quoted a Heritage fellow who said Chao was not hired at a starting salary of $200,000 just to do research at the foundation, but instead to open doors to China for Heritage's corporate donors. So they brought Elaine Chao in to open the doors to China to get money from the dictators for the Heritage Foundation, so this right wing group could promote the cheap labor agenda in the United States. Or it sure looks like that. He said she was no great scholar on Asia, but knew as much as she needed to know, quote, to strike deals over there, end quote. And the fellow added that Chao herself clearly had business interests in China. In 1997, Chao reportedly led a delegation of Heritage Foundation's major donors and trustees to the Hong Kong reunification ceremony, where the dictators of communist China took back the protectorate, what was largely a democracy of Hong Kong. And, of course, now we're reading in the paper about how in Hong Kong, they were marching in the streets saying, hey, we want democracy. We would like the right to elect our own officials. And China, of course, is saying, no, you can't do that, China being the dictatorship that it is. This is like the prison labor story. We'll get to that in a second. So anyhow, since Chao came aboard, the think tank that Heritage has tilted more favorably toward China. For example, a longtime defense scholar was pushed out after warning too loudly of the growing People's Liberation Army threat, and a paper urging caution on permanently normalizing trade with Beijing was rewritten after a Heritage donor who is a key player in the pro-China corporate lobby. See, that's the key. It's the pro-China corporate lobby. Complained and threatened to withdraw his support. The donor, Hank Greenberg, also supports Chao's husband, GOP Senator Mitch McConnell. And they kind of wrap up this article in WorldNet Daily by saying, in Hong Kong, Beijing has sided with Chief Executive C.H. Tung, handpicked by a committee appointed by Beijing, over Democratic opposition leader Martin Lee, the Morning Post says. So we support the dictators. Now, I started out by saying it's interesting how the neocons are saying we need to whack North Korea and we need to expand our presence in the Middle East. And, of course, now there's this story that was in the New York Times. It's all over the Internet. And it was first released in Europe, actually in England. They just declassified a bunch of documents in England. And it turns out that back in 1973, the Nixon administration seriously considered attacking Saudi Arabia. Said, hey, you know, maybe we should do this. And not just Saudi Arabia. Actually, they were thinking of attacking Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and, as I recall, it was the United Arab Emirates. So I'll have to Abu Dhabi. Here we go. This is the article by Lizette Alvarez in today's New York Times. Britain says U.S. plan to seize, or yesterday's, U.S. plan to seize oil field in 73 crisis. Now, what had happened, of course, was that Israel and the Arab states had this war going on. We were supporting Israel. The Arab states that controlled, at that time, about 20% of our oil imports, between 15 and 20%. Now it's more like 40% of the oil that we bring into the United States. The Arab countries who controlled that, OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, got together and said, hey, that's it, guys. You're going to support Israel? You're not getting any more of our oil. And they cut off our oil for 6 months. And I remember that well. For much of that time, Louise and I were living in Detroit, and I remember, you know, people were killed in line for gas because the lines, you'd sit in line for four or five hours, and people, you know, somebody would try and take cuts and things, and people were getting shot. The truckers went on strike toward the end of this thing who were delivering food, and the supermarket shelves were all empty. I mean, you know, people were thinking like, you know, this is Armageddon or something, you know, is it storing up food and you know, buying gold, and Nixon was just hysterical. You know, what can I do? And he tried price controls, and then we had to go to alternate days, the last digit of your license plate, if you could buy gas and all this stuff. So anyhow, turns out that James Schlesinger, who was Nixon's defense secretary, his Don Rumsfeld, came up with this idea to attack the Middle East and seize the oil fields of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Abu Dhabi. And they would have gone after Iraq as well, but back then Iraq was aligned with the Soviet Union. And in the documents that have been released, the greatest threat, the document said, would arise if we invaded Kuwait, quote, where the Iraqis with Soviet backing might be tempted to intervene. So Iraq, you know, we were a little afraid of that because Iraq was on the Soviet side of the Axis at that point, more or less. And the U.S. government might consider that it could not tolerate a situation. This is from the document. This is the 1973. The U.S. government might consider that it could not tolerate a situation in which the U.S. and its allies were, in effect, at the mercy of a small group of unreasonable countries. Schlesinger specifically referred to them as underdeveloped, underpopulated countries. And you get this and you know, realize that there's this kind of thinking going on, and then you go back and you look at the Cheney meeting in 2001. Now, this was 6 months before 9/11, before Bush had an excuse to invade Iraq, and 9/11 legitimately wasn't an excuse to invade Iraq because, as George Bush himself has said, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. But And Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11 or al-Qaeda. But you've got this situation where most people in America, you know, you say the Middle East, they can't filter one country from another, you know, and it seemed to go well in Afghanistan. So, hey, let's go after it. But 6 months before 9/11, Cheney has this meeting. And here's the documents. Some of the documents have been pried out in this Judicial Watch lawsuit. And here we see a listing of foreign suitors for Iraqi oil field contracts. Algeria, the company Sonarish, might be interested in blocks 6 and 7. See, they'd blocked out. They'd organized all the oil. And even more interesting is the document about Saudi Arabia's oil fields and which countries and which companies might be interested in taking over the oil of Saudi Arabia. Now we got these guys writing this book saying, we need to tell the truth about the Saudis. Get tough with them. Strange times. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. Eh, what's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
See, we got the numbers, but they got the voting machines. Gonna have to turn out like they never seen. Gonna have to win big, gonna have to win weak. No matter if it's Wesley Parker or Howard Dean. My man Curry is sure to get the job done. Even Mosley Brown or Reverend Sharpton. Even my little buddy Dennis Kucinich. Gonna have to take it all the way to the finish. Throw in with Gephardt if that's the way it goes. Or even Lieberman, you're gonna have to hold your nose. Too long standing and looking from the outside. Hey, ABD, I like to say it with pride. Now when you vote, vote well and make sure that it counts. Now you're down with a discount. You're down with ABD.
And you know me.
You're down with ABD.
And you know me.
You're
down with ABC.
Or as they say, as Mayor Daley used to say, vote early and vote often. Hey, welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We've got a story in here buried someplace in the pile. I'll get to it. But just in short form about how in New Mexico, more Democrats have registered in the last few months than pretty much any other time. It's just this explosion. And what's fascinating is the number of people who are changing party affiliations from Republican to Democrat. And the first suspicion when you see a lot of that happening is that you've got Republicans who are trying to swing a Democratic primary. They're trying to mess with the primary. And that still may be the case, because Republicans have historically done that on many occasions, and Democrats have done the same thing to Republicans. But the other possibility, and this is the one that it appears to be the case, according to the person who's registering people to vote, one of them who's quoted in the article, she said something to the effect of, these people are coming in and they're saying they're fed up with George Bush, and they want to change from Republican to Democrat so they can vote him out of office. And I thought, whoa, it's interesting. But anyhow, the question behind all of this information is how much longer and how much longer are we willing to wait, or how much longer are we willing to continue on this path? How much farther down this road are we willing to go? How many more American young men and women are we willing to have die? And, I mean, you know, it's amazing. You think there's, you know, 470 some odd now, I believe. You know, we're close to 500 dead. And if you think about your life and how much you value your life, and just think if somebody told you tomorrow that that you had some disease that was going to kill you in a week or something like that, or if somebody was shooting at you, or if there was a sniper, you know, people value their lives, and their families value them. And here we have nearly 500 Americans, not to mention the nearly 3,000 Americans who have lost arms, legs, feet, eyes, who will spend the rest of their lives in wheelchairs, disabled. You know, to what extent are we willing to do that in the service of multinational oil corporations, ranging from ExxonMobil to Halliburton, and continue to ignore the alternative, which could absolutely revive and ignite our economy in this nation, which would be coming up with alternative energy sources, developing alternative energy sources here in the United States, and you know, widely using them. I mean, you talk about an industry that has the potential to make even the computer, the dot-com boom, look like small potatoes. You come up with ways for a local community to generate its own power, or for individual homes to generate a majority of their own power, and just start shutting down the grids. We don't need the grids. And this is not science fiction, my friends. This is stuff that is already being done in communities around the United States and certainly around the world. Even in the northern climes of Denmark and Finland and Sweden. And you know, it's such an extraordinary possibility. But instead we have an administration run by two former oil industry CEOs, Dick Cheney and George Bush, who are absolutely committed to pumping more oil out of the ground and having an economy and a nation that runs exclusively on that product, and are willing to let your children and mine die in the service of that. And this is just, in my opinion, this is just wrong. And now we got these hawks saying, well, now we got Iraq, let's go for Saudi Arabia. And we discover that Dick Cheney, in his energy meeting, actually mapped out Saudi Arabia and came up with prospective buyers. Total, Fina, Elf, ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, Chevron, Texaco, Eni, Phillips. Remarkable. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
As the Earth's climate warms up, green might turn into brown in a lot of places. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide in photosynthesis, and so plants could get a big boost from all the CO2 that we've added to the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels. But if plants get something good out of greenhouse gases and global warming, that extra benefit is not likely to last forever. Ron Nielsen is an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. He worked with a team of researchers to study the impact of climate change on vegetation. Nielsen says global warming could put a lot of stress on plants at some point in the future, but early on, they might do just fine.
We've developed this hypothesis that we call early green up, later brown down, and that is that with a little bit of climate warming, a little bit of global warming, you get the benefits of elevated temperatures, longer growing season, some increased rainfall, and then some benefits from CO2 fertilization of crops and forests, well, ecosystems in general.
Nielsen says plants use water more efficiently when they have more carbon dioxide, but that benefit is lost when temperatures get too high. Then plants start losing water to evaporation from their leaves, and they suffer the stress of a drought. Nielsen says it's important to keep that in mind when people talk about how plants will do well with warmer weather and more carbon dioxide.
Early on, you may be lulled into complacency by an increased greenness of the planet and seeming benefit of global warming, only to have it suddenly flip around and go into a global browning.
Nielsen says one consequence of this global browning could be more wildfires as plants dry out and burn up. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Australia. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman, broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network. Now, let me know if you think I'm nuts. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Or if this concerns you. I mean, here we have Dick Cheney, Ken Lay, and a bunch of other unknown, as of this moment, oil industry executives. Nobody representing the industries that could produce alternative energy systems, and there are many, and some of them are substantial in size, were invited to this meeting. Nobody from the environmentalist community was invited to this meeting. No Democrats were invited to this meeting. This was a who's who of Bush-Cheney oil donors to their campaign. And they mapped out Iraq, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. And here we see on the Iraqi map, they have the names of all the different oil fields, and then they have the countries that might be interested in buying their oil, and then they have information about it. Australia might be interested in the Halfaya and the Block 6 oil regions. The firm in Australia is BHP, and it says collected data discussions. Belgium has a country, has a company called Petrofina that might be interested in the Adab Block 2 areas, and they are collecting data. Canada, Ranger, Bow Canada, Alberta Energy, CanOxy, Chavco Res, Fiskindado, no doubt I'm mispronouncing that, Talisman, IPC, and Pan Canada. And they may be interested, Ranger could have Block 6, Bow Canada could have Kuramani and the Hamrini oil fields, Alberta Energy, unidentified oil fields, and in the discussions area it says none, they haven't talked to them yet. Canada Oxy might be interested in the Ratawi and the Block 5 fields. It says discussions over Ratawi and collected data on Block 5. Chavco Res, Canadian oil company, might be interested in the Ain Zala oil field. Advanced talks by late 1996, service contract for advanced oil recovery gas injection project in this aging field. And on it goes, on and on and on. And then for Saudi Arabia, we discovered the the Aramco crude oil development projects. Of course, Aramco is the Saudi company. They list those, the Haradah gas oil separation plant number 2, the Qatif crude expansion, the Haradah gas oil separation plant number 3. But then they look at projects open to foreign companies. And it says, the footnote says, these projects are designed to replace declining capacity elsewhere in Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure, keeping total Saudi oil production capacity at around 10.5 million barrels per day. Total direct investment potential on these projects is projected to range up to $40 billion. And in the South Gwahar area development, the companies that might be interested in coming online: Total, Fina, Elf, ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, Chevron, Texaco, ENI, Phillips. And Conoco actually seems more interested in the Red Sea area of development and in the Shaiba area of development. Now, you can see it all at judicialwatch.org. The notorious right-wing... This is the guy who sued Bill Clinton over Jennifer Flowers, that led to his lying in court, that led to his ending up, about Monica, which ended up his getting impeached. The same guy, Larry Klayman, who's now running for political office with his organization, Judicial Watch, has pried these documents out of the Bush administration. And then we discover that not only did this have nothing to do with 9/11, I mean, here's George W.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. No.
Yeah.
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. No.
Yeah, and this is just a few months ago. And not only have we had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with September the 11th, no, but what was it that George W. Bush said to the Iraqi people when he addressed the world the night that we went to war over the objections of the United Nations? UN Resolution 1441 specifically said that the severe penalties, I believe the phrase was, I'd have to go back and look at it. There was some phrase in there that implied, if you guys don't comply, we're going to nail you. And that option, that clause, as I recall, it was Section 9 of 1441, I could be wrong. I don't have it in front of me. But it said that in order for that option to be exercised, that is, in order for a nation or the nations of the world, the United Nations, to attack Iraq, the head of the inspection team would have to certify to the Security Council that Iraq was not in compliance with the resolution. In other words, Iraq was refusing to let the inspectors do their job. And Hans Blix came in and he said, not only are they allowing us to do our job, we have had free and unfettered access to every site we've gone to, and we've gone to over, 300 or 400 sites in the previous 2 weeks, all of them surprise visits. In most cases, there was no evidence that they had, succeeded in eavesdropping on us and finding out where we were going to be, because they've found people sound asleep. I mean, you know, it's things that were embarrassing to the government. So the UN, and then I'm amazed how few Americans know why France and Germany were opposed to our going into the war. It wasn't that they thought Saddam was a good guy. It was that Hans Blix was saying, we can't find any evidences of weapons. Give us another couple weeks. Maybe we will. And if we do, then I'll certify that. You know, or if he tries to stop us, I'll certify. But we got this guy in a box. And Germany and France are saying, and Russia are saying, you know, our young men and women's lives are really important to us. And the riches of our nation are really important to us. And we're a little reluctant, frankly, to spend our young men and women's lives and the riches of our nation going after oil. I mean, you know, just it's like it's not worth it. And certainly when there has not been a demonstrated harm. Hang on just a second here. One detail I need to share with you. But and now we discover that 5 months before 9/11, the U.S. was advocating using force against Iraq to secure control of its oil. This from the Sunday Herald. Strategic energy policy challenges for the 21st century. This a document from the Project for a New American Century. A report linked to a veritable who's who of U.S. hawks, oil men, and corporate bigwigs commissioned by James Baker. Commissioned by James Baker, the guy who's running around doing the, you know, let's cut the loans. Okay, so far in Iraq, we have spent $93,494,048,000. That's enough for 9,441,746 children to attend a year of Head Start school. That's enough for additional health care, for a full year of full health care for 28,624,000 children in the United States. That's enough to hire an additional 1,272,000 teachers. Now, this is just what we've spent so far. This doesn't count roughly 85 of the $87 billion that has just been, you know, ordered up and served off to these folks. $93 billion. That's enough to hire 1.2 million public school teachers for an entire year. That's enough to provide full four-year scholarships to 1,693,888 students in the United States. Would the United States be better served by controlling the oil fields of Iraq or by having 1,693,888 of our young people attend full four-year state universities on a scholarship, totally free? I mean, these are real questions, you know. It's look at poverty, the situation of poverty. I think that it's wrong for us to rent public housing, or it doesn't work very well to rent public housing and then let people live in it. I think the way to do this is to give public housing to people, or allow them to buy it very, very cheap. In other words, if they're working at a job that pays $5.15 an hour, you have to come up with some kind of housing that people can actually buy so that they can become part of that part of America that owns its homes. And, of course, it's going to require some kind of subsidy to make that happen. But what you'll do is you'll bring more people into the middle class, which stabilizes our culture, our economy. It reduces crime. It reduces poverty. And you do that by building public housing units. It's like, you know, Habitat for Humanity does. And sell them cheap, you know, we're subsidizing average middle-class Americans' mortgages at the same time. You say, wait a minute, that's a government subsidy. You can deduct your income from your income taxes, the interest that you pay on your mortgage. That's a government subsidy. It's probably the largest government subsidy for the American middle class. So anyhow, with the $93,494,373,610 that we've spent so far in Iraq, we could have built 954,024 homes, nearly a million homes we could have built. And simply given them, if we chose, I don't think giving them away is a good idea, but we could have simply given them to people and said, here, now you own it. If you can sell it, you want to take the money and go drink wine or something, you know, whatever, or, you know, because that's the wino stereotype is the one that Wright always brings up, although the vast majority of people who are homeless are not. In fact, increasingly, it's families, but that's a whole other rant. So anyhow, here we have this project for a new American century, submitted to Dick Cheney in April of 2001, commissioned by James Baker. And let me quote from this document. Quote, Iraq, now this is before 9/11, remember. This was before 9/11. Iraq remains a destabilizing influence to the flow of oil to international markets from the Middle East. Saddam Hussein has also demonstrated a willingness to threaten to use the oil weapon and to use his own export program to manipulate oil markets. This would display his personal power, enhance his image as a pan-Arab leader, and pressure others for a lifting of economic sanctions against his regime. The United States should conduct an immediate policy review toward Iraq, including military, energy, economic, and political diplomatic assessments. End quote. It goes on to say that once an arms control program is in place, the U.S. could consider reducing restrictions, sanctions on oil investment inside Iraq. It reads, the reason for this is that Iraqi oil reserves represent a major asset that can quickly add capacity to world oil markets and inject a more competitive tenor to oil trade. Oh, I got started down one road and I forgot to go to the end. Remember when George Bush looked at the American public and looked at the world in that speech? And he said, and now I have a message for the Iraqi people. We're about to bomb your country, right? We're about to bomb your country. Now, he could have said, we are sending in young men and women from the United States who believe in the cause of freedom and who are coming to liberate you, who are coming to free you from a tyrant, and we would appreciate it if you would not shoot at them. Please don't attack our troops. Bush could have said that. He did not. He didn't say anything like it. Instead, what he said to the Iraqi people, your fate will depend upon your actions. Do not destroy the oil wells. I mean, just right out there.
Your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells, a source of wealth that belongs to the Iraqi people.
Now, the last half of that quote raises two interesting questions. If the wealth from the oil wells of Iraq belongs to the Iraqi people, does that mean that the wealth from the oil wells in the United States belongs to the people of the United States? And if so, then shouldn't all these oil companies, you know, start paying us for the oil that they're sucking out of the ground underneath our feet? And if not, then why is it appropriate to have, you know, socialized oil in Iraq and not in the United States? I mean, what's going on here? In fact, it's either a lie, or it's absolutely inconsistent, you know, philosophically inconsistent to say, you know, we're going to nationalize the oil in Iraq, but not in the United States. I think this is just fascinating, you know, from his speech.
Your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells, a source of wealth that belongs to the Iraqi people.
Yeah. So the Iraqi oil reserves. Here, this document that was presented to Dick Cheney in April of 2001 goes on to say, the United States remains a prisoner of its energy dilemma, and one of the consequences of this is the need for military intervention. This was in April of 2001. This was a half a year before 9/11. Dick Cheney was planning this thing. The central dilemma for the U.S. administration, this document says, is that the American people continue to demand plentiful and cheap energy without sacrifice or inconvenience. With the energy sector in critical condition, a crisis could erupt at any time, which would have a potentially enormous impact on the U.S. and, of course, on its corporations. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun, spin me around again. Iran!
Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Lori Piwesta's family is upset about NBC running last week, this week on Nightly News on Tuesday of this week, the videotape now that has come out showing Jessica Lynch being well treated and cared for in the Iraqi hospital as Lori Piwesta is laying in the bed next to her dying. I mean, she was being apparently well cared for as well. But her family is very upset. They blame George Bush for the death of their daughter. They said that, in fact, a copy of the videotape should go to the leaders at Fort Bliss, the commanders at Fort Bliss, Texas, quote, so they'll never again make the same mistake. And if by chance they do, we hope they won't leave them behind to die the painful death Lori endured, end quote. A family in absolute agony because the United States, because the Bush administration felt that we have to have our right to our SUVs. It's just, that's it. No way around it. Armin in Florida is called 1-800-TALK. Yes, hey, Armin, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Thank you. You know, Tom, I've read a lot of papers from the Heritage Foundation, and especially during the so-called debate of the health care system when the Clintons were in. And my conclusion is that the Heritage Foundation is nothing more or nothing less than an elite fascist front organization. I've never seen them go on record approving of anything that takes any of their power or control away from the agenda of the people that make up that.
Armin, in defense of them, I have to say, you know, I know some folks at the Heritage Foundation. We've had several of their people on this show as guests. And I believe that the majority of people who are involved over there really do believe that they have figured out the best way for the United States to survive in the world. I disagree with the way that they've come up with, but I think that there's some well-intentioned people there. I think there also are some financiers behind it, like the dictators of China, who see it as simply a way to grab political power, and it's unfortunate. Thanks for the call, Armin. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The New Year's Eve car bombing of an upscale Baghdad restaurant, which killed 8 people, was a sign that opponents of the U.S.-led occupation forces may be shifting to civilian targets, U.S. and Iraqi officials said Thursday. The so-called hard targets in Baghdad, like coalition complexes and Iraqi police stations, are increasingly well-guarded, pushing insurgents towards soft targets like the Nabil restaurant, said a U.S. military officer with the 1st Armored Division. He said security was being increased around hospitals and government buildings and called on schools to put up checkpoints and keep cars off their campuses. As they prepare to increase their role in Iraq, including more combat duty, soldiers with the Army National Guard and Army Reserve are already experiencing a bigger share of U.S. military deaths there. Of the 39 deaths in December in Iraq, for which the Pentagon has released the victims' names, 10 were citizen soldiers, according to an Associated Press review of the Pentagon reports. That is up from 14% in November, the deadliest month of the war, with 81 American deaths. There actually were 40 reported deaths in December, but one soldier's name and affiliation have not been released. Overall, since the start of hostilities last March, 14% of all U.S. military deaths have been members of the Army Guard or Reserve. The Army says it's had 68 reservists killed so far, compared with 9 reservists among the Marines, 2 in the Navy, and 1 in the Air Force. Someone who buys lottery tickets in the Cleveland suburb of Euclid is going to have a prosperous New Year. A winning Mega Millions ticket worth $162 million was sold at a convenience store here, Ohio Lottery spokeswoman Mardell Cohen said. It was the only ticket in the 11-state jackpot that matched all the numbers in Tuesday night's drawing. When redeeming the winning ticket, the winner may choose between an immediate cash payout of $95 million before taxes or $162 million over 26 years. The lump sum payment would be about $67.9 million after taxes. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
In its annual compilation of language irritants, Lake Superior State University singled out 17 words and phrases that it says ought to be banned. Metrosexual topped the list, which included the words punked, bling bling, and embedded, and the phrases smoking gun, shock and awe, shots rang out, ripped from the headlines, in harm's way, and sanitary landfill. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An old English nursery rhyme goes, they hang the man and flog the woman that steal the goose from off the common, but let the greater villain loose that steals the common from the goose. It's receiving remarkably little media attention, but the corporate villains are loose, stealing the commons from you and me. And now they're trying to plunder the most essential public resource we have, our water. there's an ignoble global water grab underway. In our country and throughout the world, a handful of conglomerates are moving rapidly to turn this necessity of life into just another commodity for traders and speculators, a private plaything for personal profiteering. And if you're xenophobic, get ready to have your brain explode. The big three water grabbers are foreigners. Mon Dieu, Bubba! Two are French conglomerates and the other is German. And they've already grabbed the water systems of Houston, Indianapolis, Lexington, Jersey City, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and dozens of other cities. While the promise of water privatization has been golden, the delivery has been leaden. In city after city that has succumbed to the corporate promises, locals have seen their monthly bills skyrocket, services sink, water quality stink, and democratic control evaporate. As a result, water wars have broken out all across America as folks are organizing, petitioning, and holding referendums to stop the corporate heist of their water supply. And Atlanta, Jacksonville, and other places that had previously privatized have gotten so fed up with the result that they've dumped the corporate hustlers and taken back public control of their water. But beware, for the corporations are trying to get Congress to force your city to consider privatizing your water supply or be denied federal funding for water improvements. This is Jim Hightower saying, don't let them steal this most precious part of our commons. To fight the water profiteers, call Public Citizen, 202-546-4996.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, and it's our second hour on Friday afternoon brunch with Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, the only independent congressman in the United States House of Representatives. Bernie, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tom, and happy new year to you and all of your listeners.
Well, thank you, Bernie. And let me remind our listeners, if they have calls, if they have questions for you or comments, if you'd like to talk with Bernie Sanders, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Bernie, two quick things on the top of my head, and then I'll, you know, whatever you want to talk about,
sure.
and whether you want to take a shot at either of these. The first is that yesterday was the 10th anniversary of NAFTA.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like it might be useful to educate people a little bit about the incredible swath of destruction that has wrought on the United States. And the second was this article on the front page of Monday's New York Times about how the Bush campaign has deployed a small army of folks to go on local AM radio talk shows.
Sure.
The Charlie Sykes show in Milwaukee, the Martha Zoller show in Atlanta, the Jerry Boyer program in Pittsburgh. And they say it is a network, that is this large network of right-wing talk shows, local right-wing talk shows, that the Democrats do not have,
right,
and one that Mr. Bush's campaign strategists believe will give him an edge in the election that could go with whichever side best mobilizes its core voters. And, you know, I'm wondering if you've, for example, I know John Conyers is very interested in what's going on with radio and things like that. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of discussion is going on in Washington about these things,
well,
what you know about it, or if that's a topic that you'd rather...
I think you're right
else.
To pick up on that issue. As you know, some of us in Congress are working extremely hard on the whole issue of corporate control over the media. And it is an issue that we need to politicize. It's an issue that we need to get the American people involved in. What is going on right now is that fewer and fewer large corporations control what we see, hear, and read. And it is enormous concern for a couple of reasons. Here you have very clearly a tremendous advantage, not only that the Republican Party has through local right-wing talk show hosts, but through Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Gene Gordon Liddy, Ali North, all of these guys who should be seen as nothing else but as propagandists for the Republican Party. This is not some kind of, gee, let's have a nice talk show. Let's talk about the issues of the day. These guys are right-wing talk show hosts who coordinate with each other. They work for Tom DeLay, the president, and the right wing of the Republican Party. That's issue number one. It is a huge concern. And despite the fact that we have a nation which is pretty much politically divided, progressives have virtually no vehicle for that type of communication. I was out in California a couple of weeks ago, where Schwarzenegger is now the governor. And there was the front page of the L.A. Times that Schwarzenegger is pushing his agenda, and he has done it through right-wing talk show hosts all over California. Yeah. So this is a tremendous advantage that right-wing has. And my own view is that the listeners out there have got to be actively involved in media reform and frankly, what you are doing and very, very few other people are doing is presenting a different point of view to the American public. And that's why your show is so important. That's why we've got to put pressure on the FCC not to allow for more media deregulation so that the Clear Channels of the world can own even more radio stations. It is a huge issue, Tom, and we've got to stay focused on it.
Now, Bernie, I'm of two minds on this. First of all, we've got the Sherman Antitrust Act, which was passed in 1890 and is still on the books, and it says every contract, combination in the form of trust or otherwise, or conspiracy and restraint of trade or commerce among the several states shall be declared illegal, and anybody who violates this can go to jail for 3 years. And I would say that in the media there are some clear violations of the Sherman Act, particularly with, you know, like GE, some of the huge media monoliths. On the other hand, I should point out that this program is carried on two clear channel stations right now.
There
are folks, you know, within Clear Channel who say, hey, you know, we're just here to make a dollar. Now, they do have a right-wing political action committee that apparently they did ask recently all of their employees who make over $100,000 to contribute 1% of their income to. But, you know, still, I think that they're going to go where the money is. And my guess is that the industry has, you know, Rush was so good, and he's good. He does good radio, mm-hmm. and you have to give him that.
Yes, he does. He's a good entertainer.
Yeah, he's very good. And so they said, hey, we want more just like him. And they thought that his politics had something to do with his success, so they put on all these people who shared his politics. And, you know, none of them have reached the pinnacle.
But I think, Tom, we have got to be naive not to believe that there are progressive-minded people who are also bright and funny and entertaining.
Yeah.
And who can be on the airwaves. And I think it's wrong to believe, as some would tell us, oh, gee, it's only conservatives who have this magic. That is just not the case. I think there is a clear bias. Corporate America owns the airwaves. They want people who are out there who will be talking about less taxes for the rich, a free trade, not raising the minimum wage, the right-wing agenda. And I do not believe they want progressives on who will be talking about a pro-worker, pro-middle-class agenda.
Yeah, you know, I hate to believe that, and then you look back at the memo that got Phil Donahue thrown off MSNBC.
Right. You just,
you know,
take
just
you
came
mentioned
right
General,
out and said it.
You mentioned General Electric a moment ago.
Yeah.
And I hope all of the listeners know that here you have a corporation, one of the largest in America, that owns NBC. Now just think for a minute about all of the enormous conflicts of interest that exists within General Electric. It was just a piece of my local paper the other day, Burlington Free Press, I think it was, or Rutland Herald, I'm not sure. It said, GE anticipates making money in Iraq. General Electric is going to be making a lot of money in Iraq. And General Electric is into nuclear power. General Electric is into armaments. General Electric is moving as fast as they can to China, to Mexico. Do you think that they have a bias in terms of how they present the news? I think so.
Yeah, And at least I can say, you know, having worked in the media for more than 30 years and having worked in radio for a decade back in the 60s and 70s, that even if nobody puts any pressure on you at all, you still know which side your bread is buttered.
Exactly. I mean, it is very nice. You don't have to get a call from the president of GE. You work for GE, and you know what they're going to like and what they're not going to like. And it's not any different from ABC. ABC is owned by Disney. Disney is heavily involved in the sweatshop labor in the Caribbean, Latin America. They have strong conflicts of interest. Rupert Murdoch owns Fox, a right-wing billionaire, involved very heavily in China in trying to get his media around the world. Strong conflicts of interest. So I think that we have got to pay a lot of attention to this. We need progressive voices. We've got to fight that fight. People who are listening have got to go to their local newspapers, their local radio stations, demand alternative points of view.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, and let's do it in concert with the market. I think on the one hand we have to have congressional action to enforce the antitrust laws and anti-monopoly laws with regard to the media and so many other areas, and get reasonable regulation of the media. But on the other hand, I see the marketplace also as an area where we can all be
proactive. Half of the people. Let's remember, in the last election, more people voted for Al Gore and Ralph Nader than voted for Bush and Pat Buchanan. There is a huge audience out there. It is beyond my comprehension that you have large cities in America, like New York City, where 70-80% of the people vote against the Republican candidates, and the only talk shows that you have on the air there, by and large, at least on commercial radio, are what? Right-wing shows.
That's it. Yeah, and probably a dozen different ones. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Bernie, we've got five callers here stacked up. Glenn in Tulsa, Rob in Newtown, Richard in Raleigh, and Jim driving through Illinois. We'll start with Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Bernie Sanders on our Friday afternoon.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Bernie. You know, the big one great giant issue hanging over us is health care. And, you know, Carol Moseley Braun made the point that we couldn't possibly design a government single-payer healthcare system that would spend more money than the system we have now, but would provide healthcare for everyone. That is, if you take the money that businesses spend, the co-pays that employees pay, and the money that governments spend, and the taxes we pay for those who are uninsured, who go very sick to the emergency rooms. And yet, you listen to Chris the Yeller on, MSGOP screaming about, where's the money going to come from? Where's the money going to come from? We're already spending the money. It's just spread around. And these huge, the huge function, part of that money goes to the CEOs, to stockholders.
Yeah, I think we've got it, Glenn. Is there a question in there for Bernie?
I'm sorry. Well, what can we do to get through to these people where we have 70% of these people who still think Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11.
Okay, you know. Glenn raises a very, very important issue, and I want to talk about healthcare, but I also want to talk about the media, because Glenn may not know that in the early 90s, when Clinton came forward and said, let's talk about healthcare reform, the proposal that won more support from the House of Representatives than any other proposal was a single-payer national healthcare system.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Tom?
I did, yes, but it wasn't widely circulated.
Ah.
Although when they did polls, they found that 70% of Americans were in favor of something.
That's
like
right.
That.
I just saw a poll recently. A majority of the Americans believe that the government of the United States should make sure that all Americans have health care. But if you go through the media back in the early 90s, no discussion, almost no discussion of a national health care system. Now Glenn's point is a very simple and correct point. Carol Moseley Braun is right on this issue. The fact of the matter is, and everybody should listen up on this, with 43 million Americans uninsured, with even more underinsured, with the cost of health care zooming up every single year, we spend twice as much per capita on health care as any other country. Point being, and study after study has shown this, that because we spend so much on administration, on corporate salaries, on advertising, without spending one nickel more, we can provide through a single-payer national health care program health care, quality health care, comprehensive care to every man, woman, and child. We cut the administrative costs way, way down. We spend money on health care. So Glenn is absolutely right. And that is an issue that we've got to continue fighting for. And as we look in the new year, that's a vision that we have got to have, and that is health care for all people through a national health care program.
Yeah, and ideally a single-payer one, the most straightforward, simple, and least expensive.
And you know what? Let's not kid. While Congress doesn't talk about it, while the media ignores it, the majority of the American people think we should join the rest of the industrialized world and have health care for all people.
Bernie, in the 20, 30 seconds here before we hit this break, what do you think the chances of that happening are in the near future?
It ain't going to happen unless there's it starts at the grassroots level, and it's not going to happen, I think, until states get involved in the issue, just like on prescription drugs. Congress and the White House are much too much owned by the insurance companies. So we've got to do what we can in Washington. We've got to put pressure on the media, but we also have to work with our state legislatures. If one state can make a breakthrough, we can go on from there.
Well, I think Maine just did, didn't they?
Not the single payer, but they are making some progress.
They're moving in the right direction. Great. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed her breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is
It's the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Old man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two.
And welcome back. Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network with Bernie Sanders, our Friday afternoon Brunch with Bernie session. And Jim in Illinois, he's on a cell phone. I'm going to move you to the head of the line here, Jim, because you've dropped off a couple of times and you keep dialing back. I appreciate that. So, Jim, you're on the air with Tom Hartman and Bernie Sanders.
Well, Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I've got a bone to pick. I love him. Thank you for having him on. I love Bernie Sanders, but I got a bone. George Bush just keeps talking about how he wants to bring all these people to justice around the world. Well, I want some justice too, and I want to take my justice out on George and Dick. But I'm not going to be able to do that if the voting machines aren't going to give me a paper trail. Now, I want to know why Congress and Senate aren't screaming to the top of their lungs about this thing. You know, we're going to be ripped off again, and I just don't feel like that the people in the Senate and the Congress is representing me, and I want to know what you're going to do about it. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny, Tom, that you raised that issue because you had Rush Holt on your program, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and I actually wrote the first op-ed piece on commondreams.org back more than a year ago that kind of blew this out in the open, that caused that outed Chuck Hagel as being the former president of ESNS. His office went in and threatened the reporter, Alexander, it was his last name, from The Hill, about writing the story, and The Hill ran the story, and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Well,
so,
Jim's point is a good point. What Jim is talking about now is that there is growing movement toward touchscreen voting. And I think what Jim is saying is he's worried that the software is such that the results could be manipulated and become fraudulent.
Well, and
that
looks like it's already happened in Georgia and in Alabama. It looks like it happened in 2002 pretty clearly.
So, Jim, and I think there was just something recently, Tom, you may know more about it than I do, where somebody kind of hijacked their way, hacked their way into the website.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So, Jim, you're raising a very important issue. What you should know, at least in the House, there is legislation to do exactly as you indicate, provide a paper trail that's introduced by Rush Holt of New Jersey. I am certainly a co-sponsor of it. I think you're going to be hearing more and more about that issue. And by the way, Tom Hartman deserves a lot of credit for helping to bring that issue to the public's attention.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and thanks for supporting that, Bernie. That is an important issue. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. It's Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's congressman, the only independent in the U.S. House of Representatives. Also my congressman here from the great state of Vermont. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Bernie.
Hi.
I'm going to get back to the absence or minimal amount of progressive talk radio or any presence of progressive approaches to the media.
Okay, we got about a minute here, Rob. And
you talked about legislation. You talked about the free market. But what about, you know, Tom, we've had conversations about how it was the think tanks and wealthy right-wingers that supported Limbaugh and a lot of the whole beginning of right-wing talk radio. Is there a progressive group or movement that is working with Democrats and independents to do anything?
The answer is yes. How effective they will be remains to be seen, but there are some groups now who are far more serious about talk radio than used to be the case. I think there's some discussion about getting Al Franken to be part of some radio network.
Yeah.
Al Gore, I think, has indicated some interest. Tom, you may know more about it than I do.
Well, I want to know what you know. I mean, besides what you read in the paper, have they involved you?
We do. Ironically, Rob, I do my own radio show, also coming from Vermont. We are trying to move nationally. The answer is we are making some progress. It is much, much too slow. It is not easy, in my view, getting into commercial radio because of corporate ownership and their hostility to progressive ideas.
Interesting. Bernie, thank you very much. Rob, thanks for the call. We'll pick up a few more calls here on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartman with Congressman Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
As the Earth's climate warms up, green might turn into brown in a lot of places. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide in photosynthesis, and so plants could get a big boost from all the CO2 that we've added to the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels. But if plants get something good out of greenhouse gases and global warming, that extra benefit is not likely to last forever. Ron Nielsen is an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. He worked with a team of researchers to study the impact of climate change on vegetation. Nielsen says global warming could put a lot of stress on plants at some point in the future, but early on, they might do just fine.
We've developed this hypothesis that we call early green up, later brown down, and that is that with a little bit of climate warming, a little bit of global warming, you get the benefits of elevated temperatures, longer growing season, some increased rainfall, and then some benefits from CO2 fertilization of crops and forests, well, ecosystems in general.
Nielsen says plants use water more efficiently when they have more carbon dioxide, but that benefit is lost when temperatures get too high. Then plants start losing water to evaporation from their leaves, and they suffer the stress of a drought. Nielsen says it's important to keep that in mind when people talk about how plants will do well with warmer weather and more carbon dioxide.
Early on, you may be lulled into complacency by an increased greenness of the planet and seeming benefit of global warming, only to have it suddenly flip around and go into a global browning.
Nielsen says one consequence of this global browning could be more wildfires as plants dry out and burn up. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles-Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Friday afternoon, brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman. And Bernie, we have, Richard in Raleigh, North Carolina, has been patiently waiting online. Hey, Richard, thank you for waiting, and you're online with Tom Hartman and Congressman Sanders.
Hey, Bernie and Tom. Happy New Year, fellas.
You too.
I want to talk about coalitions, and here's something I don't understand. How in the 60s did we ever get enough people together to pass civil rights legislation in the early 20th century? How did we ever get enough political support to pass workers' rights legislation when there is so much? And there were people complaining back then, like George Seldes, that the media was all corporate control, and yet they managed to build these coalitions and get people support. Today you find, I'd say, more poor people are conservative, and even in the black community, you find a lot of conservatism. Even though they might vote Democratic, you find a lot of conservatives. You can find even, I think, Walter Fauntroy, who was one of Martin Luther King's lieutenants, is one of the people supporting this constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. So what has happened between those movements and today that has that we've lost the support of the poor and the working class for progressive causes?
Okay. Richard raises a very profound question, and it's good that we discuss it.
Yeah.
I think when you look at politics, Richard, let's start off with a couple of basic assumptions. First of all, in presidential elections, 50% of the people don't vote anymore. They're giving up on the political process. My guess is that probably 80-85% of low-income people don't vote. They no longer believe, for a variety of reasons, that politics is relevant to their lives. They don't see any change taking place. They are hurting. They don't trust the Democratic or Republican parties. They're out of the political picture. Many working people don't vote. That's issue number one. Issue number two, because there is not in Washington a strong political movement focused on the needs of working people, the need for a national health care system, ending our disastrous trade policies, raising the minimum wage to a living wage, putting people to work, rebuilding our infrastructure, building public education. People don't see all of that stuff. They're smothered day after day by anti-government rhetoric. Then they are exposed to issues like the homophobic issues, the race-baiting issues, affirmative action. They'll be exposed to privatization of schools, privatization of Social Security. You got all of this stuff going out there, the goal of which is to divide up working people into a dozen different areas. Guns are a very big issue. So I think what happened, what we learned in the 60s because of the leadership of such people as Martin Luther King Jr. and others, change takes place when you mobilize people at the grassroots level by the millions, when you have a cause, when you organize, when you gain support. Clearly, we are not there right now. My own view is what we have got to do is focus attention on basic economic issues, why it is that people are working longer hours for lower wages, why the middle class is disappearing, is shrinking. Focus on those issues. Focus on solutions to those issues. Bring people together. And that's where I think we've got to go.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Bernie, and I think that the key is education. We need to wake people up. I've got a 12-second clip here from Cesar Chavez that just summarizes it beautifully.
Once social change begins, it cannot be reversed. You cannot uneducate the person who has learned to read. You cannot humiliate the person who feels pride. You cannot oppress the people who are not afraid anymore.
Yeah, we need to re-begin that process, as you say.
And I think for the listeners out there, what we also have to understand, that the right wing does understand, that Rush Limbaugh does understand, politics is 365 days a year. It has everything to do, as you just said, Tom, with education, with organizing. You don't have to wait 2 weeks before the election. People have got to start moving today.
Yeah, amen. Philip in Florida is on the line. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES, Philip, and welcome to the program. It's Tom Hartman and Congressman Bernie Sanders. Question, comments for Bernie?
Yes. Mr. Sanders, I don't see you enough on C-SPAN interviews. I love to watch it. But I want to ask you, you know, when you really look at it, you know, American television, we all have seen many, many war movies and documentaries on History Channel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as far as I can see, there are way too many similarities between how the Germans occupied France and what their behavior was, busting into homes, arresting people in the middle of the night, and the Free French bombing at cafes, taking pot shots at German soldiers. There's a lot of similarities between what our troops are doing in Iraq as occupation force and what the Germans did to the French. Of course, it was a small minority, under 5% of the French population, that opposed the German army. It wasn't the majority. It was a small minority. And of course, they...
Your point, Phil.
My point is, do you see that as well?
No, I don't. I mean, I would not equate the people who just blew up a restaurant and killed a bunch of civilians with the Free French fighting against Nazism. God only knows the nature of the forces that are active. They're probably a bunch of different forces. But I think that in general, there are going to be, and I suspect that it's not just for supporters of the terrible dictator Saddam Hussein, but you're going to have a lot of ordinary Iraqis who are suspect about what the motives are of the United States. I doubt that most of them believe that we're in there just for totally good reasons and to improve their lives and to give them freedom. And I think we're going to have to address that. My hope, as I've said many, many times, is that we have got to work with the international community. We've got to work with the United Nations. We've got to stabilize what's going on in Iraq. The United States alone cannot be rebuilding Iraq, and we should be bringing home our troops as soon as possible and transfer power to a democratic Iraqi government.
You know, Philip, in raising that issue, Bernie, it's an interesting contrast because when the Germans occupied France, they were being picked off all the time. I mean, there was a huge, and not just France. I mean, the same thing was happening in Norway and in Holland, and yet when the Americans occupied France or when the Americans occupied Germany, the total number of soldiers that we lost as a result of hostile fire or hostile acts from the end of World War II to today is zero. Mm-hmm. Nobody was shooting at us, mm-hmm. even in Germany. Mm-hmm. It just didn't happen. So
that's right.
You know, and I wonder. You see these the huge debate, this breakdown that's going on in writing the Constitution in Iraq, and I'm wondering what percentage of these attacks that we're seeing are not so much directed at us, but are the beginning stages of an internal civil war where the three major factions of Iraq, and then you throw in the organized crime faction, and which is the old Saddam
remnants
faction.
Remnants of Saddam Hussein's group, yeah. And so forth. Yep.
Yeah, and they're all jockeying for power because you got 35 of them or something on the council there, and anyway, it's a mess. I agree with you. Joe in New Jersey is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Where in New Jersey are you, Joe?
Monmouth County.
Great.
Across from the water from New York City.
Yep.
I guess my comment was sort of on the media question, but I think it's more general than that too. I've often wondered why there hasn't been more action at the grassroots level to organize boycotts.
Good.
Obviously, it's hard to boycott food, but the media is real easy to boycott, and yet I just haven't seen enough action in that direction. I'd just like your comments on that.
Joe, I think you raise a very good point. I think that there has been enormous passivity on the part of the American people, moderates, liberals, progressives, toward what is going on in the media. It astounds me. As I mentioned earlier, that in cities like New York City, where 70% of the people vote against the Republicans, you can't find a progressive talk show, and the people sit by and let that happen. So I think the idea of boycotts, which, by the way, has been used by the right wing time and time again. You'll remember, Joe, that there was a program, a documentary or a docudrama on Ronald Reagan that some of the right wing didn't like in terms of how he dealt with homosexuality. And they managed to get CBS to take the show off the air because they threatened boycotts. I think we have got to be talking about that. I think in addition to that, people in their community should be walking into their local radio station and saying, excuse me, we don't want to listen to 8 hours of right-wing radio. We want different points of view. And if you can't do that, we may boycott your station. We may boycott and get a whole boycott your sponsors. I think Joe makes a good point, and I think that's what media activism is about.
You know, Bernie, I think that there's already a not an overt boycott, not the kind that you and Joe are talking about, but a very real boycott going on, in as much as in the communities where a radio station has picked up this program, the stations that pick up this program are picking up listeners, measurably picking
mm-hmm.
up listeners,
mm-hmm.
and yet the right-wing stations are not losing listeners. And what that says in the same markets, and what that says to me is that there's a huge underserved market out there. That half of America that you referred to earlier who voted for Gore and Nader, who have simply turned off the radio. They're not
right.
saying, I'm taking an action. They're just like, they don't want to hear that stuff. And when a progressive or centrist or whatever you want to call this show, option in your show are provided, people turn it on. And what's you know, what I'm hopeful for is that more, well, what I'm seeing is that all across America, people in the radio industry, I get two or three calls anyway every week from program directors and you know, around the country and radio stations interested in the program, and they're saying, hey, you know, we think that there's people who want to listen
and
to
I agree
this,
with
and,
that. I absolutely
and we would like
agree
to sell to
that.
Them.
I yeah. absolutely agree, and I think, though, also that people at the grassroots level have got to start calling up their local yeah. radio station and say, hey, we just don't want, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. There are alternatives, your show being one of them.
Yeah, I just put on www.tomhartman.com. There's a link, I forget what it's called, something like Your Station or Your Town or something like that, about how to get this program on the air in your radio, in your local market. And we need more of those how-tos out there, I think.
That's right.
Bernie, let's the phone lines are clear. Let's talk about NAFTA for a minute. This
sure.
is the 10th anniversary of it. Tell us how this came about and what NAFTA really means.
Well, as most of the listeners know, NAFTA is the North American Free Trade Agreement, and it the United States previously had a free trade agreement with Canada, but this incorporated Mexico into it. There was an enormous amount of debate when this was passed. Because there was a great fear on the part of many of us that this would lead to what we call a race to the bottom, where workers in the United States would be forced to be competing against workers in Mexico who were making 75 cents an hour, a dollar an hour. 10 years later, Tom, the result has been that we have lost about 800,000 decent-paying manufacturing jobs. The deficit that we trade, the small trade deficit that we had with Mexico and Canada, has now skyrocketed. And one of the ironies here, and this touches on the broader issue of American trade policy, is that our trade policies are so bad that not only can American workers not compete against rather desperate people in Mexico, who, by the way, are also hurting as a result of NAFTA, but that many jobs in Mexico are now going to, you know where they're going?
To China.
They're going to China because yeah. the American companies don't want to pay Mexican workers a buck an hour when they can pay people in China 20 cents an hour, and hundreds of factories have been shut down in Mexico, causing very serious economic problems. When I went to Mexico just about 6 weeks ago to look at this very issue, what we found is that on border towns near El Paso, Texas, Juarez, for example, tremendous poverty. I mean, we saw people who could not get health care, people who were working for 75 cents an hour, people who were fired when they tried to form an independent union. The fact is that in Mexico over the last 10 years, you've seen a tremendous decline of rural jobs because in Mexico, the small farmers there who grew corn for hundreds of years can't compete against subsidized agribusiness from the United States, so they're leaving the countryside. What you have seen then is NAFTA is part of a trade policy which is bad for working people in America, bad for poor people in Mexico, and is good for the large multinational corporations who are leading us to a race to the bottom, having people compete against people who are worse off. And then the irony on top of everything else is that even in China, in some instances, they're beginning to lower wages. I guess 20 cents an hour is too much in China. So we have got to take a very hard look at our trade policy. We have got to demand that corporate America start reinvesting in the United States, create decent-paying jobs here. We, as a major and wealthy nation, along with the rest of the first world, have got to protect and help poor people around the world. No question about it. But you can't do it through a race to the bottom, impoverishing everybody so that the Walton family can end up with over $100 billion in personal wealth. That's wrong.
Yeah, I agree. And it's becoming just conspicuous. I mean, it's becoming so obvious, I think, to the average American that what has happened is, you know, you even see the stock market going up and at the same time more and more people going into poverty, that our trade policies are good for the multinational corporations and they're absolutely terrible for the average American, for working people, and the war on organized labor and the war on the working people that these corporations have declared is having considerable success, and NAFTA and GATT are two of its tools.
Tom, the good news here, and you ask me how this came about, I'll tell you how it came about, and
yeah.
the same thing with our a China policy. And as I mentioned last week, I've introduced legislation to repeal permanent normal trade relations with China, which is getting a lot of support in Congress.
God bless you.
Co-sponsors. But how it happens, of course, is that corporate America floods the Congress and the White House with money, and almost, you know, for all intent and purposes, buys the vote. Corporate America, the media thinks it was great. You check the editorial pages of almost every newspaper in America. Oh, unfettered free trade. Oh, it's great. They forget to tell you that many of these same companies are trying themselves to do business in China or buy media in Mexico and so forth
But Bernie, do you think the average member of Congress realizes this? Do you think they're being hypocrites, or are they really under the spell?
Tom, I'll tell you something very interesting and very positive.
We got about
20
seconds.
A lot of these guys who voted for NAFTA, you know what? They won't vote for it again. They see the decimation in terms of decent-paying jobs in their communities. So there's beginning to be a backlash against our trade policies, even in Congress.
That's great. That's great news. Bernie, we've got Keith on the line in Burlington, Vermont. We'll pick him up right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. We're on the air with Congressman Bernie Sanders on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Over the mountain, down in the valley, lives a former talk show host. Everybody knows his name. He said there's no doubt about it. It was a myth, the fingerprints.
And welcome back. It's Talk Radio for the Rest of Us, the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network this afternoon with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Bernie, we run a live chat room when this program is on the air, and people can find it off tomhartman.com. And there's a fellow in Copenhagen, Sweden. Copenhagen is Denmark, right?
Yeah.
Who is in there right now? And he says your election system is the problem. We need to take that up with our next show. I think we've got Keith in Burlington here, but I just wanted to pass that along. Keith, yeah. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. We've got about 2.5 minutes here. Your question for Bernie.
I'll try to make it quick. Hi again, Bernie. Hi again, Tom. A foreign policy question related to trade. This country has a huge trade deficit. So huge that no other country in the world could possibly maintain it. Except for the fact that all oil transactions in the world economy take place in U.S. dollars, which forces other countries to have huge U.S. dollar reserves. And this sort of relates to the Iraq War. We noticed in Venezuela, when the Venezuelan government decided to switch to euros for their oil transactions, that the U.S. tried to sponsor a coup there.
Right. And Saddam threatened to do the same.
Also did the same thing in November of 2000. And you noticed that Vladimir Putin also played that card a couple months ago by saying that he was considering switching to the euro, which could destroy the U.S.
economy.
We're running
out of time here, Keith. Your question?
I'm just curious as to Bernie's insights on...
Bernie's thoughts on that? Okay. Bernie, take a shot at that.
Not brilliant insights. I don't know that I know much more than Keith does about it. What I do know, however, is that we have the potential right now to break our dependence on oil and other fossil fuels. One of the tragedies of our time, Keith, as I'm sure you're aware of, is the technology is all out there now with wind, solar, hydrogen fuel cells, geothermal, and so forth and so on. And it is one of the outrages of our time that we continue to be dependent on fossil fuel. And, of course, George Bush and his family have been long tied in with oil, and that's a real tragedy.
Yeah, I just did an hour on this before you came on the air, Bernie, and I suggested that we could see a renewal that would make the dot-com boom look like,
That's absolutely right, Tom.
Picnic. I mean, you know, it could be so huge. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Okay, Tom, take care.
Okay, do good. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The New Year's Eve car bombing of an upscale Baghdad restaurant, which killed 8 people, was a sign that opponents of the U.S.-led occupation forces may be shifting to civilian targets, U.S. and Iraqi officials said Thursday. The so-called hard targets in Baghdad, like coalition complexes and Iraqi police stations, are increasingly well-guarded, pushing insurgents towards soft targets like the Nabil restaurant, said a U.S. military officer with the 1st Armored Division. He said security was being increased around hospitals and government buildings and called on schools to put up checkpoints and keep cars off their campuses. As they prepare to increase their role in Iraq, including more combat duty, soldiers with the Army National Guard and Army Reserve are already experiencing a bigger share of U.S. military deaths there. Of the 39 deaths in December in Iraq for which the Pentagon has released the victims' names, 10 were citizen soldiers, according to an Associated Press review of the Pentagon reports. That is up from 14% in November, the deadliest month of the war, with 81 American deaths. There actually were 40 reported deaths in December, but one soldier's name and affiliation have not been released. Overall, since the start of hostilities last March, 14% of all U.S. military deaths have been members of the Army Guard or Reserve. The Army says it's had 68 reservists killed so far, compared with 9 reservists among the Marines, 2 in the Navy, and 1 in the Air Force. After separating from the pack as the only Democratic presidential candidate to give Howard Dean a late-year run for the money, Wesley Clark is mapping his final sprint to become the Democrats' alternative to Dean. Clark, a retired general, said in a statement issued Thursday that he is the candidate best able to stand up to George W. Bush and win the debate about who will best be able to make our country more secure over the next 4 years. Bush had a 67% to 21% lead over Dean on who people trust more to handle national security, according to a mid-December ABC Washington Post poll. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
From the Polish undertaker caught smuggling cigarettes in a hearse to a pair of one-legged Brazilian prisoners skipping jail, the weird and wacky reigned supreme around the world in 2003. Oddball tales abounded, with Canadian prisoners being offered fruit-flavored condoms, Cambodians being urged to eat more dogs, and China axing hemorrhoid TV ads during mealtimes. And who can forget the French hunter who was shot by his dog? This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An old English nursery rhyme goes, they hang the man and flog the woman that steal the goose from off the common, but let the greater villain loose that steals the common from the goose. It's receiving remarkably little media attention, but the corporate villains are loose, stealing the commons from you and me. And now they're trying to plunder the most essential public resource we have, our water. There's an ignoble global water grab underway. In our country and throughout the world, a handful of conglomerates are moving rapidly to turn this necessity of life into just another commodity for traders and speculators, a private plaything for personal profiteering. And if you're xenophobic, get ready to have your brain explode. The big three water grabbers are foreigners. Mon Dieu, Bubba, two are French conglomerates and the other is German. And they've already grabbed the water systems of Houston, Indianapolis, Lexington, Jersey City, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and dozens of other cities. While the promise of water privatization has been golden, the delivery has been leaden. In city after city that has succumbed to the corporate promises, locals have seen their monthly bills skyrocket, services sink, water quality stink, and democratic control evaporate. As a result, water wars have broken out all across America as folks are organizing, petitioning, and holding referendums to stop the corporate heist of their water supply. And Atlanta, Jacksonville, and other places that had previously privatized have gotten so fed up with the result that they've dumped the corporate hustlers and taken back public control of their water. But beware, for the corporations are trying to get Congress to force your city to consider privatizing your water supply or be denied federal funding for water improvements. This is Jim Hightower saying, don't let them steal this most precious part of our commons. To fight the water profiteers, call Public Citizen, 202-546-4996.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. For all things Macintosh, if you need help, if you need service, if you want to buy Macintosh products, 1-800-511-MAX or smalldog.com on the Internet. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And Boone County Clerk Melinda Mulphy. Was that a dog I just heard woofing there? Is that John? Okay. John's running the board now, and you can always tell. Thank you, John. A tribute to Small Dog Electronics. Boone County Clerk Melinda Mulford heard from the Arkansas Secretary of State's office earlier this week. This is from an article by George Holcomb. It's about Boone County, Arkansas, and it's in the local paper down there. Mulford said, Arkansas has chosen to file a waiver to the Help America Vote Act requirements. Now, what this means, Help America Vote Act was this piece of legislation that got rammed through Congress after the 2000 elections. And it allocated, as I recall, $4.3 billion. I may be a few million off on that, but it was $4 billion, more or less, dollars, that would be given to states if they would use that money to buy electronic voting machines and convert from paper ballots or from punch cards or from lever machines. And so your tax dollars and mine are being given to the states so that the states can buy products from four large corporations that are huge donors to the Republican Party. In fact, the head of Diebold, one of the largest companies in Ohio, the president, recently wrote a fundraising letter for George W. Bush in which he said that he was completely committed to doing whatever it took to get George Bush elected in Ohio. I'm rational, I think, enough to believe that he meant legally, that he's not talking about trying to rig the election. But nonetheless, all of these machines have very specific vulnerabilities, as they discovered in Boone County, Arkansas. The state's reluctance to act on HABA requirements has to do with serious problems, this article says, about the accuracy, security, and integrity of the proposed electronic voting systems. They quoted Mulford, this county clerk, who has to... Now, by the way, the reason I'm telling you this story, you can call your county clerk. I called mine here in Vermont. And I also called the Secretary of State's office, and we won't get into that. The Secretary of State here in Vermont is a friend of mine. And I saw her at a social event a couple of months ago, and I said, she said, you wouldn't believe the number of people that have forwarded your Common Dreams articles to me. And I said, well, it's an issue that I've been writing about. And she said, well, I don't think it's that big a problem. I am hoping that Deb Markowitz has changed her mind since that time. There's a group here in Montpelier that has regular meetings to talk about this, and they're trying to convince the state. But rather than working at the level of the Secretary of State, which is a good idea, I think we all of us who want to get active on this, in addition to contacting our senators and congressmen and our congresswomen, as the case may be, and saying, please support Rush Holt's bill to provide for his bill about security for electronic voting. Because Rush Holt's bill, Rush Holt is a physicist, he's a scientist, he's a good guy, and he wrote a very good piece of legislation. It's not my ideal, but it's 90%. Most of the easy fraud will be nailed with this thing. And so, number one, of course, contact your local senator, both of your senators and your representative in Congress, and ask them to support Rush Holt's bill or its corollary in the Senate. There's a similar one that's been introduced in the United States Senate, and I forget who sponsored that. Maybe somebody in the chat room can remind me, and I'll let you know. Number one. But number two, call your local county clerk. Your local county clerk, this is somebody who probably will be answering the phone, right? They'll take your call more often, in most places. You can get through to a county clerk. Here's an elected official who can actually make a decision. And just say to that person, if I show up to vote in November and you have given me a machine where I touch a screen and I have no idea as I walk out of that booth what happened to my vote, I'm going to be very concerned. And I'm going to do everything in my power to get a county clerk in office who's going to make sure that my vote can be audited. That if there and that random tests, checks are being done on the vote. Rush Holt's bill calls for 1% of all elections in the United States to randomly be examined. Any of the protections in his bill would have prevented what I believe was either computer error or fraud in Georgia. It's so obvious to me and to many people. You look at the poll results that Max Cleland was elected and that his votes went to Saxby Chambliss for the United States Senate and vice versa, and the same with the governor's race. And I wonder how many other races in Georgia just got flopped. And then you got the guy down in Alabama who the governor of Alabama, the Democrat, won, and then overnight the voting machine lost, 8 or 9,000 votes? Or 14,000, something like that, just enough to make the Republican win. And then when the Democrat says, hey, wait a minute, the machine lost the votes or had miscounted in the first place, and I'd like a recount, I'd like, an audit. And they said, oh, he's just a whiner. All the right-wing talk show hosts came out, and they never looked into it. Never looked into it. So anyhow, the county clerk of Boone County, Arkansas, says, and I quote, Ohio had decided on letting their state go with the four major voting systems, Sequoia, ES&S, Hart, and Diebold, said Mulford. After the state submitted its request for proposals from the four companies, state officials performed a technical security report on the systems. Between all four systems, they had 56 flaws. And she says that's enough for me. I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to go there. So Boone County, Oklahoma, or Arkansas, rather. Excuse me. Good on you. That could be our caught you doing something right for the day. I don't have time to cue up the music, but congratulations to Melinda Mulford, the clerk of Boone County, Arkansas. Working for Change, working in a publication of Working Assets, and in collaboration with the Sierra Club at the end of the year here. This is the last week of last year. It's also the first week of next year. You look at it either way. And for us to look forward into next year, I think it's useful to take one last look back at last year and resolve out of that, you know, decide out of those things that we can see. What would we want to do different next year? How would we change things? What direction do we want America to go? And here's a list of some of the environmental milestones of just last year, just of 2003. Mercury rising. We issued public health warnings to pregnant women and children about mercury after announcing policy changes to triple the amount of mercury pollution allowed from power plants. George Bush brags about the fact that the new regulations will reduce mercury by 30%, but the old regulations called for it to be reduced this year by 90%. Number two, super duped. This became the Bush administration is the first administration since the Superfund was created under the Nixon administration to support shifting the burden of Superfund toxic waste cleanup costs from polluters to guess who? I mean, it used to be they would identify a Superfund site, say, okay, here's a site, it's all filled with dioxin and toxic waste, and it's at risk of leaking into the ground, it's dangerous to people. It's not rocket science to figure out what company put that stuff there or what industry put that stuff there in the case of sites that are aggregates, you know, where multiple companies use them, and hold them responsible. Go back and say to them, hey, you guys made this stuff. You can pay to have it incinerated or cleaned up or neutralized or stored for 100,000 years. And that's how they did it under the Nixon administration. It's how they did it under the Reagan administration. It's how they did it under the Carter administration. It's how they did it under the George Bush I administration. It's how they did it under the Clinton administration. And now comes George W. And he says, oh, yeah, that's fine. We need to clean up these sites. Sure. No problem. Although they did reduce the threshold of when a site becomes a site and kind of relisted a bunch of them. But then he added, and by the way, those corporations that make all those large campaign contributions to the Republican Party, they shouldn't have to pay to clean up the pollution that they created. After all, that's an expense that will get passed along to the American people in the form of higher product costs. The reality is, you see, whenever you hear cons talk like that, you know, just ask yourself, what contribution to product costs is the CEO's multi-million-dollar salary making? What contribution to product costs is the luxurious headquarters? What contribution to product cost is made by the corporate jet with the gold fixtures and the revolving bed? I mean, you know, it's incredible. You know, Jack Welch retired from GE, and he's got this huge penthouse apartment that's paid for the rest of his life by GE, and on it goes, all the benefits that... So anyhow, George Bush said, well, we think that the taxpayers should pay to clean these things up. We don't think the corporation should pay for them anymore. And he changed the rule. Sure enough, changed the rule. So now there are Superfund sites all over the United States, and your tax dollars and mine are going to pay to clean them up. And the companies just, they got out a jail-free card. Sooty Santa, the Bush administration dismantled provisions of the Clean Air Act that requires the oldest and dirtiest power plants and refineries to curb soot and smog pollution. Back in blackout, they proposed a national energy bill that did nothing to reduce our dependence on foreign oil, did nothing to repair or address our antiquated electric grid. As I was saying earlier, the big solution here for the electric grid is to get rid of the grid, is local power generation. And they did nothing to protect special places from oil and gas drilling. In fact, to the contrary, they have been opening them like crazy. Look at what they just did up in Alaska. Now, in fact, here we are. Number five, drilling wilderness opened nearly 9 million pristine acres in northwest Alaska to the oil and gas industry for exploration and drilling. This over the objection of the American people and over the objection of Congress. But the Alaskan people are a little concerned. They, probably a majority of people in Alaska actually want this because for years Alaska was pumping so much oil that every year, instead of paying income taxes, people actually got a check from the state government in Alaska. And that has kind of faded out because the old wells are running dry and they've either got to find some new oil if they want to keep paying checks to their taxpayers or start charging income tax. So here we go. It's, economic interests versus the quality of life and the future of the world. A tough choice. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, by the way, if you'd like to call. 1-800-825-5937. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight
in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you today by the Newsletter Factory. Newsletterfactory.com is their website. And if you are selling anything, if you're a salesperson, if you're in the business of selling anything, and you want to communicate with your customers, newsletters are one of the most effective and inexpensive ways to with high credibility, with the impact of a newspaper, to communicate a message. First it was almanacs. Did you remember earlier in the week when the Department of Homeland Security, I defy anybody to call me and tell me that they've heard the word homeland mentioned by any national politician prior to 9/11. I thought it was fascinating. Right after the Reichstagsgebäude was burned in Germany in 34, as I recall, 33. Yeah, it was 33, February 28, 1933. Adolf Hitler met with his advisors, and apparently it was Rudolf Hess who came up with the idea. He was the one who used it at the Nuremberg rally, and they were looking at the Zionist movement. You know, they were obsessed with all things Jewish, and how the idea of a homeland, what a powerful attractor that was to Jews all around the world. And so they said, well, we need to galvanize the Aryan people of Germany in the same way. And so when Hess introduced Hitler in 1934 at the big Nuremberg rally, his introduction was... In fact, I've got it here. This is his introduction. Used the word homeland. He said, "We are so grateful." Here it is.
Dank Ihrer Führung.
Thank to the Führer.
Wird Deutschland
sein
Ziel erreichen?
Heimat
zu sein.
Is returning to the homeland. Is now our homeland. So anyway, it's a Rudolf Hess. So anyway, the Department of Homeland Security. Pardon the digression there, but I find it fascinating how our minds are being played with. The Department of Homeland Security earlier in this week said, if you see anybody with an almanac, look out. You know, call the FBI, dial 911, do something. Watch them carefully. They may be suspicious. And there was not, to the best of my knowledge, a stampede of people going to bookstores and buying almanacs. I was tempted just to make a statement. And it would be really interesting to look at almanac sales, you know, because now the Homeland Security Department, of course, they have, or the FBI, has the right to go to bookstores and ask for the records, including the online bookstores. And they have to give the records. And if you ask them if the FBI got your records, they have to refuse to tell you. If they tell you, they go to jail. Well, anyhow, almanacs wasn't enough. Now it's 88-year-old people in malls. Here, this story from the Star Ledger in New Jersey. Typical day, Frank J. Corcoran would arrive at the mall at Short Hills at 7:30 a.m. and spend the next hour walking. But starting today, the mall has suspended the pre-opening walks by their very important pacers, these old geezers, amid heightened security over the Department of Homeland Security's red alert. Quote, And this is the guy who can't walk anymore. He says, we have people in the group who are 88. As far as security, a lot of us are veterans. We do not carry packages or anything like that, said Kokoran, a World War II veteran who lives in nearby Springfield and took to walking after four bypass operations. So now, if you, in addition to looking for people with almanacs, look for old people walking up and down in malls. I mean, you know, a lot of folks have moved to malls for their walk, particularly in northern climates, because they want to walk every day and there's snow outside. But now it's they're dangerous. They're suspicious folks. Yes, folks in the new paranoid America, 88-year-olds in malls may be a risk. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
As the Earth's climate warms up, green might turn into brown in a lot of places. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide in photosynthesis, and so plants could get a big boost from all the CO2 that we've added to the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels. But if plants get something good out of greenhouse gases and global warming, that extra benefit is not likely to last forever. Ron Nielsen is an ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service in Corvallis, Oregon. He worked with a team of researchers to study the impact of climate change on vegetation. Nielsen says global warming could put a lot of stress on plants at some point in the future, but early on, they might do just fine.
We've developed this hypothesis that we call early green up, later brown down, and that is that with a little bit of climate warming, a little bit of global warming, you get the benefits of elevated temperatures, longer growing season, some increased rainfall, and then some benefits from CO2 fertilization of crops and forests, well, ecosystems in general.
Nielsen says plants use water more efficiently when they have more carbon dioxide, but that benefit is lost when temperatures get too high. Then plants start losing water to evaporation from their leaves, and they suffer the stress of a drought. Nielsen says it's important to keep that in mind when people talk about how plants will do well with warmer weather and more carbon dioxide.
Early on, you may be lulled into complacency by an increased greenness of the planet and seeming benefit of global warming, only to have it suddenly flip around and go into a global browning.
Nielsen says one consequence of this global browning could be more wildfires as plants dry out and burn up. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
She looked me over and I guess she thought I was all right.
all right in a sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind?
And welcome back, Exposing the Con and Conservative. This is Tom Hartman. In our chat room, if you missed the chat room, you missed a really interesting and dynamic part of this program. I just love it. The folks who drop in and participate in our online chat room that is live and active while we're on the air is so useful to me, and I hope it is to them too. And Agra Arab says, damn those 88-year-old mall walkers anyway. And Coach, he says, commie, pinko, fag, elitist, 88-year-old mall walkers. We got to do something about them. And it's, yes, indeed. Well, what's next? Soylent Green, somebody asks. It's time will tell. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you would like to weigh in on this Friday afternoon. 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver, Colorado is on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I'd like to go back to voting for just a moment.
Sure.
Yeah, all the points you made, of course, are very valid, and we definitely have to get a paper trail and full auditing. But one thing we can do, which is still a poor substitute, but one thing we can do right now to get a paper trail is vote by absentee.
Yeah, although the one problem with that, Jeff, is that most absentee ballots are mailed in.
They're mailed in. They're also counted. They're also counted by optical scanners, which was one of the problems, I believe, in Volusia County.
Right, but also they're mailed in. You don't know for sure that your vote actually made it.
A lot of the absentee ballots you can drop off yourself.
Yeah, that's what Louise and I do here in Montpelier. Is we're just a couple blocks from the city hall, mm-hmm. and we just drop them off. But
yeah,
but
so it's still short from what it should be.
Keep in mind it was the absentee ballots from Europe, from servicemen, that shouldn't have been counted, that were given to the Republicans to certify, that provided for the initial numbers for George Bush. I mean, there was something like 1,000 of them, as I recall, that came in past the deadline. So the manipulation of absentee ballots is not something new. I mean, that's already been established. That happened in 2000. But I do, I do agree. Absentee ballots are, it's a good step, but it's not going to solve the problem.
Off yourself.
Say what?
Especially if you drop it off yourself. There are usually offices around the town that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good one. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And Happy New Year to you. 1-800-TALK-YES and Preston in Denver, Colorado is on the line. Hey, we're doing good in Denver today. What's up, Preston?
Oh, quite a bit. I enjoy your chat room as well, Tom.
Great.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of out of that for sure. And I was glad you brought up that issue of the Bush camp making the rounds on GOP talk radio.
Yeah.
I believe that was the headline that I read. It was in the New York Times. And, more power to them. They have every right to get active like that. I would like to see us, though, pressure the New York Times to do an article like, Kucinich camp makes the rounds on progressive talk radio, thereby giving IE America all that publicity to the Times' hundreds of thousands of readers. And also, Kucinich has also been on other commercial efforts, like Enid Goldstein's show.
He's been on my show.
He's been on your show?
This is commercial radio. Yeah, Dennis Kucinich has been on this program.
And he's been on Mike Malloy's show?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has several times.
We could receive that publicity, and people could become aware of these forums. And
yeah.
I mean, your ratings would go through the roof, Tom. And
well, we're already doing well, Preston. I think the story that needs to get out is the fact that progressive talk radio actually works, and that the radio industry is waking up to this. Talkers Magazine now 3 months in a row has talked about this. Radio Inc. Magazine, which is probably the biggest of the magazines in the radio industry, Radio INK, named me as one of their top 10 talkers of the year for 2003, and rising stars kind of thing, and. So it's starting to get out there. People are starting to wake up, and I'm invited to speak at these gigs. I did this thing at the Heritage Foundation with a bunch of right-wing talk show hosts and stuff, and I think it was more than just the token liberal. And but getting it into the mainstream press is a challenge. And one of the things that we haven't been real good at is doing our public relations work, and that's the next step. But you know, as this thing this is just starting to snowball. You can just feel it. It's just, you know, the snowball is starting to go down the hill here of progressive talk radio.
And one last thing, if you know listeners are concerned about, you know, the Bush camp getting their views out on these radio stations, you know, we can do it ourselves though. We can get progressive thoughts out on these radio stations as well. They mentioned WPTT in that article. That streams. And they have a fantastic host there named Lynn Cullen. And, you know, we had one here in Denver named Reggie Rivers, who was doing amazing work around the privatization of prisons. You know, he was reading Noam Chomsky's work over the air. And he literally got hounded off of the air by a handful of very committed right-wing activists. And I'm surrounded by left-wing activists who are always talking about how they can't get their views heard.
Well, get them active. I mean, if you're listening to us on the Internet, if you're not listening to us on a land-based radio station, and I'm not just speaking to you, Preston, but to anybody who's listening, because we have thousands of Internet listeners, as well as, you know, on radio stations literally from California to the Atlantic coast. But if you're listening on the Internet, contact there's a page on my web. You know, TomHartmann.com that talks about it, but not just this program. I mean, just in general, contact your local radio stations, and the best way to do it, frankly, is not to call the stations that carry Rush Limbaugh, because his show is really strong, and nobody's going to take him off the air. He's making money for them. But the problem is that you've got other stations that are trying to compete with him, with Dennis Prager and with Bill O'Reilly and so on. And these are like weak second sisters, or whatever the phrase is, you know. And they're fighting with Limbaugh for that half of America that voted for George Bush. And you just call them up and say, hey, did you know that there's a good, solid program that will give you the other half of America? You don't have to fight over a half that's already three quarters taken by Limbaugh. You can, and it works. It actually works, and stations are picking us up. We're growing all the time. We just added another station last week, a Clear Channel station, in fact. And in many cases, or in some cases, stations have picked us up because local people have called them, and it's not a harassing thing. I mean, you want to present them with a business opportunity.
And there are some very fair people out there in the business community who will listen to these ideas and are even excited about them. You know, they're concerned about environmental degradation, too, and mercury in our food and in the air and all that stuff. And there are so many alternatives, really.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of program directors of stations that carry this program who are openly conservative, and you know, we banter on the telephone, but they're willing to have an alternative voice. You know, and so it's you know, I am not a big subscriber to the huge conspiracy theory. I believe more in the herd mentality theory that nobody has seen it work yet, therefore nobody has done it, and now it's working, and this is going to be the next herd. Preston, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's very nice to hear from you, and I wish you a happy new year. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Paul in Detroit, Michigan. A town that I once lived in, a state in which I was born and grew up. Hey, Paul.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, clearly. Anyway,
okay.
Tom, I have one quick little question involving the value of our U.S. dollar.
Okay.
Just putting aside foreign investors' confidence in our federal government because of our $7 trillion national debt, I'm wondering if drop in the U.S. dollar, which I just checked is $1.26 to the euro dollar, is a result of all the world central banks dumping U.S. dollars in anticipation of our former allies will soon begin writing international oil contracts in euros. You know, they've got to dump those dollars if they do start writing the international contracts in euro dollars.
Well, they're actually not. The dollar hasn't been falling, as far as I can tell, because international central banks are dumping them. In fact, Japan's central bank has been aggressively buying dollars, which is one of the reasons why the yen has not fallen against all the other currencies, against the dollar like all the other currencies have. But what Japan is doing is they're not trying to keep it at parity or anything like that. They're just trying to prevent a collapse. They're trying to bring it down slowly and softly so that a panic isn't caused. What's causing the dollar to drop in value, Paul, is very, very simple. Let's say that you made cabinets for a living. Let's say that you're a cabinet maker and you made furniture. And you're selling that in the local community, and you got a price of $100 for your furniture, and there's a certain amount of work and effort and stuff that goes into it, and you say, oh, this is worth $100. And word gets around in the community, and your local community is your only market. And word gets around in the community that in the last 6 months or the last year, you took 5 credit cards and ran them all up $20,000, $30,000 as far as you could. You bought a great big new $70,000 SUV. You went out and you bought a big new house, and you got a $300,000 mortgage on it. You've got a big brand new plasma TV in a home entertainment center, and you took your wife on a round the world cruise for 3 weeks, and you are now you are now so far in debt that your debt exceeds your assets. You're just bankrupt, and we have to, and we're doing business with you, right? We want to buy your furniture. We would then be in a position to come to you and say, you know, that $100 piece of furniture, it's very nice. But I'll only give you $70 for it, knowing that you'd have to say okay, because it's like, you know, you're on the edge. What's happened is it's an imperfect metaphor, but what's happened is that the rest of the world has seen that George Bush is running this country into bankruptcy by credit. He has borrowed something on the order of $2 to $5 trillion, depending on whether you look at it over short term dollars or over the life of 20-year T-bills, and it is. And the projections are that if these Bush tax cuts are not repealed, and if they continue out into the future the way that he's talking about doing them, that within 10 years we'll have a $44 trillion structural deficit, which means, I mean, right at this moment, George Bush, just George Bush, has borrowed $33,000 in the name of every American, every man, woman, and child in America. And if we extend this out just 10 years with a $44 trillion structural deficit, that will be over 90% of all the assets owned by all the people in the United States, including the billionaires, which means that we will be completely bankrupt. And what's happening is that the rest of the world is looking and saying, hey, this currency does not reflect, this nation is not as wealthy as it used to be. It is becoming broke, and therefore the currency isn't worth as much.
So you're back to scenario A with the current $7 trillion debt that we're carrying, and confidence in our government.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing that happened in Argentina 10, 12 years ago. It's the exact same thing that happened in Germany in the 1920s. It happened in Holland in the 1700s. It has happened over and over and over again all around the world, and it's no secret. There was a long and detailed article about this in the Wall Street Journal. 2 or 3 days ago, and it was, I thought it was odd that it was buried toward the back, and I'm not even sure it was in the first section. And I remember thinking, I ought to clip this out and talk about it on the show, but it was such a technical article, you know, went into all the, you know.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up. We got into it a little bit. Thank you very much,
yeah,
Tom.
You're welcome. Thanks, Paul, for calling. And what you can do about it, other than, you know, let's elect representatives who are fiscally responsible. What you can do about it is protect yourself from variable interest debt, because that's going to be the thing that is going to really harm people, because the only thing that's keeping this economy going right now, by and large, we've got this huge injection of borrowed cash, so it looks like we're living large, but we're living on debt, right? We had George Bush borrowed all his money and then gave what he called tax cuts to the rich. They aren't really tax cuts. They are. It's a transfer of wealth from our children to today's rich people. That's the bottom line. It is not a tax cut. It was the transfer came about by varying tax rates, but somebody's eventually going to have to pay those taxes. So it's not a tax cut. It is a tax deferral from rich people now to the middle class in the future. Number one, And number two, the economy is being kept afloat by the fact that interest rates are really low, and so people are able to take the equity out of their homes. They're able to refinance their houses, and it's happening right across America in record numbers. People borrowing money against their houses because their houses have gone up in value because inflation, you know, there is inflation here. And, of course, people over time accumulate equity. They're taking that equity out, and they're using it to pay for their kids to go to college. They're using it to buy the latest TV. They're using it to pay their gas bills. I mean, you know, their heating bills, to pay for their prescription drugs. All these things that are going up so much faster than the rate of inflation, the industries that heavily support the Republicans, the big pharma industry, the big hospitals, Bill Frist with Columbia HCA and all that, and the big oil companies. People are taking this money out, and they're borrowing it, and they're spending it. And when interest rates go up just 1% or 2%, it's going to start slowing down. In fact, the last 2 months in a row, housing starts have declined. And this has got a lot of people on Wall Street concerned. That, in fact, there was an op-ed in yesterday's Wall Street Journal about this very thing. You know, will this quote, recovery, because December is always a good month for the stock market, will it last into 2004? Has George Bush hyped the economy hard enough that it can last into 2004? And there's a lot of people who are thinking it won't. And when those interest rates start going up, if you have variable rate debt, if you owe money on your credit cards, or if your home is with a variable rate interest mortgage, an adjustable rate mortgage, an ARM, you're going to get nailed just terribly. And so I recommend very strongly, even if you have to pay extra points for closing, that that people convert their adjustable rate mortgages into fixed rate mortgages, because they're pretty cheap right now. They're less than 6% by and large. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, Ann in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Ann, I've only got about 30 seconds here if you're quick, or I can hold you over the break.
If you don't mind, could you hold me over the break?
Okay, we'll do, in fact, there, the music caught us. We'll do that, and I'll pick you up on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. We'll be back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there. It just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you.
And welcome back. Truth in Broadcasting. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Our music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. And the board operator, our engineers, were John Lucas in Detroit and Stephanie Stryker. And Ann in Sarasota has been waiting on the line over the break. Thank you, Ann. You're back on the air.
Hi. One of your callers in the first hour mentioned something about the Heritage Foundation. And you said, well, they have a lot of good people with a lot of good intentions. And I just wanted to call to kind of give a little bit of background on the Heritage Foundation, because it was founded, it's supposed to be a nonpartisan think tank, but it was founded by right-wing rich people and corporations.
Joe Coors and Richard Mellon Scaife. Yeah.
Right. But a lot of their big contributors are like Gulf Oil, Exxon, Mobil, Bechtel, companies like that. So it stands to reason if that's where the money's coming from, you're going to be sympathetic towards their causes.
Yeah.
And as far as their papers and stuff, they supported Bush's tax cuts for the upper classes. They're
sure.
For against universal health care. They're for individual retirement accounts, not Social Security. They're very anti-labor, anti-middle class kind of thing.
Oh, they're the belly of the beast, Ann. They are absolutely the belly of the beast. I mean, although the American Enterprise Institute actually, I think, gets more corporate money. I've seen the annual report of Heritage Foundation, and an awful lot of it's coming from family foundations. But yeah, they're there. I mean, they are defining in to a large extent the conservative agenda. I was just saying that, you know, they think that that's the right way. I mean, this is an argument that goes back to the founding of America. Alexander Hamilton, who, you know, oddly was not born of nobility but married into it, or of wealth in the United States. He didn't have a father, and he was born in the Bahamas. But anyhow, he argued that we should have an aristocracy in America, that there should be a selective, a carefully selected class that the presidency guarantee should be for life. I mean, you know, all these things. And the Federalists were very into that. John Adams thought it might be a good idea. And Jefferson came along and said, no, we've got to have democracy. And that argument is still going on. I see the Heritage Foundation and these other right-wing groups as essentially anti-democracy and pro-oligarchy. But I still, and I know that there are people who think that that's actually the best thing for America. They're wrong, but that's what they think, in my opinion. But I appreciate your pointing that out, Ann, and clarifying that. I wouldn't want to leave anybody with the impression that there's anything that I agree with the Heritage Foundation on. Thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Shabbat Shalom. Happy Friday. TGIF. See you on Monday. Sirens, night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
It's another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk.